It's good to be back with you today, having been
out of town for a week, and I always miss my
brethren here, and I'm so glad that we can spend some time worshiping God this morning.
It's good to see familiar faces.
We had a good gospel meeting there in Baytown. We had a baptism last Sunday, which was very encouraging, and we had some good Bible studies throughout the week, and so I hope that we accomplish good in the Lord's service, but it's always good to be back. I want to thank you for taking care of Brandon Vetter last Sunday. He texted me after the service and said that you were very encouraging to him and he had a very good day and he had been uplifted and edified, and appreciate the Coles taking him in the afternoon and making sure he was fed and all of that, and he really enjoyed being with you. I will be out of town, Lord willing, in December, going to the Philippines, and if you want to have Brandon back, you know, raise your hand. we'll get him scheduled. Yeah, Sherry raised her hand, so okay. I'll take two hands, that'll work. But he really, it's having been there before when you're younger and wanting to do preaching, some of the greatest encouragement comes from your brethren, and that's a great thing. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning, I would encourage you to do that in a lesson that I've entitled, Come and See, Go and Tell. The woman there at the well at Sychar left Jesus and said to her people, Come see a man who told me all things, whatever I did. Let's talk about the resurrection this morning, and let's focus in on the theme of coming to see and then going and telling. It's good to see all of you this morning. It's good to be able to spend some time with you this morning in a study of God's Word. Growing up, I was always around brethren who were faithful in their attendance, who were faithful in their service to God, and that was a great encouragement to me, including my own family and others around me. And I believe, at least in my experience, the brethren that I was always around was good at coming and being a part of the worship service. But one thing I've always noticed growing up, and I include myself, is that we can always do better in telling others around us about the gospel. We can always do better in telling other people what we know. We can always do better at trying to get other people to have what we have in Christ. So I want to encourage us along those lines this morning. Of course, Matthew chapter 28 deals with the resurrection. There are basically two parts to this chapter. Verses 1 through 15 deals with the resurrection, and verses 16 through 20 deals with what we call the Great Commission. Jesus sending the apostles to preach the gospel into all the world. And we're going to notice this morning that there's a theme here when the ladies come to the tomb. In verse 6, if you'll read with me, the angel said to the woman, For he is risen, even as he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. That's our lesson this morning, and that's the theme, I believe, of this chapter, verses 1 through 16. That should be 1 through 15 on the PowerPoint there. 1 through 15, come and see, and 16 through 20, go and tell. Brethren, we're going to talk this morning about the importance of those two things. Some are not willing to come and see. Others who are willing to come and see, they're not willing to go and tell. We need to be both. What are we this morning? Are we someone who's willing to come and look at the evidence? Come and examine the scriptures. Come and examine the truths of God's Word. And then turn around and go and tell. Both are important. Notice that the women are told to come and see and then go, and not just go, but go quickly. It's very important. And then in verse 10, even Jesus, not just the angel, but even Jesus said to Mary, Go tell my brethren. I think sometimes we are good at coming and seeing, although there may be some brethren who need to do better at that. We need to come and see. But then we need to go and tell. Brethren, we need to take our sermons and go tell other people about them. We need to take our Bible classes. We have great Bible class teachers. But what are we doing with the information that we're being given? Let's go tell others about that. At work and at school. Let's not keep it to ourselves. The ladies there that came, those were the first resurrection appearances, Mary and the other women, they witnessed extraordinary things. But they weren't to keep it to themselves. And there's people here in Clarksville that need to hear these great things. Come and see and go and tell. So let's consider that this morning. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 1, "Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled away the stone and sat upon it." Steve Mont spoke recently in our gospel meeting in one of the Sunday lessons about those miracles that surrounded the crucifixion of Christ. And here we're seeing a great earthquake just 3 days later. An earthquake at the crucifixion and then another earthquake at the resurrection. These are eye-opening events to get people to focus in on important things that are going on. The cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Verse 2, "An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. And lo, he goes before you into Galilee, there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then saith Jesus unto them, Fear not, go tell my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there you will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and told of the chief priest unto the chief priest all the things that were come to pass. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and rid you of care. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And the saying was spread abroad among the Jews and continues until this day. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. First of all, there has to be a coming and seeing. And secondly, there has to be a going and telling. We live in a world today where people do not want to examine the evidence. When the angel says, come and see, he's saying, in effect, there is evidence to be seen. Notice in the text that the stone has been rolled away. Why? So that you can look in and see it. So that you can look in and see that the body is gone. And in John's account, Peter and John ran there in John chapter 20. And Peter looks in and John looks in. Why is the stone rolled away? I don't think the stone is rolled away to help Jesus get out. He doesn't need that. I think the stone is rolled away so that you can look in, so that you can go in. Jesus could have passed through that if you wanted to. But the stone is opened and the invitation to come and see. Christianity is not something where you check your brains at the door and you don't use your brain, you don't use your mind. God gives us evidence and reason, and He wants us to examine those things. And John will say in John chapter 20, 30, and 31 that the things that are written for our learning and so that we can know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have evidence. But we need to come and see it. We need to come and see it. We live in a fast-paced world. We need to slow down and open up our Bible. And we need to read our Bibles. We need to come and see the evidence. Somebody says, well, I don't have much faith. Faith is directly related to the amount of time you're spending with the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I don't feel like I have much faith. Then you're probably not reading the Word of God much. I've got to come and see, and that means to slow down. And that means to put a priority on things. And come and see the evidence. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Look at the evidence. Well, I don't believe there's a God. Well, have you looked at the evidence? Well, I don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. Well, have you actually sat down and seriously looked at the evidence? We live in a hyper-skeptical world where our young people are being taught, well, you know, there's no God, and you know, it's just yourself. Well, have you looked at the evidence? And Don and others will talk about here about the design of the human body and the design of the universe and so forth. Do we stop and take a look at the evidence? We've got to come and see. And then we've got to accept it. Notice that when the women went away, you can find this in the parallel accounts. If you turn over to Mark 16 and verse 9, when the women came and told the disciples, it said that they disbelieved. Well, if the evidence is being presented, we need to believe it. We need to accept it. And there are two kinds of evidence. There's first-hand eyewitness, come and see, look in the tomb. Peter and John actually go in and look, and I'm sure the women did as well. But when the women came and told the others, that's another kind of evidence, but it's still evidence. It's secondary evidence, but it's still evidence, and they would not accept that initially. Later they did. So number one, we need to come and see, and number two, we need to accept it and believe it. And number three, we need to personally view it. Well, my mom and dad will do it for me. No. Well, my friends will do it for me. No. I need to come and see. And as I get older, I need to be examining these things. I need to be in the church, young people, not because mom and dad is making me be in the church. I need to be because I'm convinced of the truth. I'm glad that we have parents. And parents need to guide their children and teach them and be a good example. But when we get a little bit older, we need to stand on our own two spiritual feet. We have young people here this morning whose parents are sitting beside them, and that's a great thing. But I need to be here because I want to be here. Because I've personally viewed that and accepted that, and I'm going to make that a part of my life. In Luke chapter 24, turn with me there. There were different post-resurrection appearances, several. And when you add in the appearance to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, you get up over a dozen different appearances. Jesus made it very clear that he was resurrected. Luke chapter 24 and verse 12, but Peter rose and ran unto the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes by themselves, and he departed to his own home, wondering at that which was come to pass. But back up a couple of verses. Verse 10, now when Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them told these things unto the apostles, and these words appeared in their sight as idle talk. Your version might have the idea of foolish talk. And they disbelieved them. Look at that. Oh, no. But the very next verse says, Peter ran and stooping and looking in, sees the linen clothes by the... Personally do this. Personally examine the evidence. Young people, personally know why we take the Lord's Supper and why baptism is for the remission of sins and why do we sing without an instrument. Oh, Mom and Dad told me that. No, because I've examined those things in the Scriptures. And why do I talk a certain way? And why do I dress modestly? And why do I not do this and stay away from certain sins? What? Well, Mom and Dad, they're always on me about that. No, I've looked at that in my Bible. If you turn over to John chapter 20, Thomas took that approach. In John chapter 20, Thomas said, except I see the hands, except I see the print of the nails in his hands, except I see, I will not believe. I love that attitude. His attitude was, I want to personally view the evidence. And Jesus gave him that opportunity, verse 20. Five, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, you have to give him credit for wanting to personally view the evidence. And Jesus allows him that 1 week later. And these other things that are mentioned here. John chapter 19, 35. John says, I have seen these things. The one that is writing this book called John, I have personally witnessed these things. John 19:35. John 21:24. I have personally seen these things and I'm writing them. Now, obviously we don't live at the time of Jesus, but we can personally view the evidence, the eyewitness evidence that has been written for us in the Scriptures. And then, we need to come and we need to get excited about the evidence. We need to get excited about the evidence. Back in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8, what does the text say there? And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. We've got to get excited about what we're reading. I hope Bible study is exciting. I hope following along in the sermon is exciting. I hope daily personal Bible reading is exciting, where we learn something new and we want to apply it in our lives and we want to tell other people about it. We've got to get excited about the evidence. One of my favorite resurrection appearances is in Luke 24:13 and following, when Jesus appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus opens their mind and he interprets the Scriptures, Moses and the prophets and what the law said to him. And when he got done with them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us along the way? Today it's like, well, I'm bored with Bible class. Not here. Other places. I'm bored with Bible class. And when can we get this over with? And we've got to be excited about learning. We've got to be excited about growing. We've got to be excited when the Scripture enters into our ears. And they were burning with zeal. Not, well, you got to drag me kicking and screaming to Bible class or to a service or to a gospel meeting, but I love it. I want to be there. And those two men couldn't wait to tell somebody else. Let us never slump into that approach of, well, I guess I got to go to Bible class. These men were burning with love for truth and a desire to learn and grow and know more. And they were excited. Brethren, come and see. Come and see. We need to come and see. We need to be reading our Bibles more. We need to be searching the Scriptures daily. And there's even evidence in the natural world around us. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Let us be excited about the design and the designer in our world. I would encourage parents to Go outdoors more. Put the phone down and go outdoors more and look. Whenever there are celestial things that are going on, the planets and different things that come about throughout the time of the year, and look up and see who made these things. Isaiah says that. Isaiah says, look up and behold, who has made these things? and talk to our kids and grandkids about the design in the natural world with the little bugs and the flowers and other kinds of things. And get excited about that kind of thing. And the Word of God, come and see. And we need to be viewing our life apologetically. I don't mean that in the modern sense of the word of you say I'm sorry, but the older use of the word apologetic to give a defense. We need to be viewing our lives apologetically where we can give a defense for what we believe. We've seen the evidence and we want to tell other people about that. When somebody says to you, why, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is, why, we need to jump at that, and we need to know what to say. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just do it because that's not going to be convincing. And we're losing young people, and we're losing other people, and we need to be able to answer the why question. Well, Mary, Joanna, why do you believe in the resurrection? I don't know. No, they could say, I went there. I looked in. Let me tell you about it. And so we need to be coming and seeing. And brethren, we cannot go and tell others until we first come and see. We cannot tell people in Clarksville about the Lord's Church unless we know what it is. I'm trying to do a series on Sunday mornings on the Lord's Church. We cannot tell other people about the second coming or the plan of salvation or the Lord's Church or why we sing without an instrument and a host of other things until we first come and know and see. And yes, that is my job as a minister to do that. And yes, that is the elder's role to be able to do that. But it's the job of all of us to be able to do that. At least on a basic level. Later in this chapter, the disciples are going to be told, go into all the world. Well, they're not going to be able to talk about anything unless they first come and see it and know it. Yes, they would be guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. And yes, the Holy Spirit, John 14 through 16, would give them new information. But they needed to be convinced of it. And we will talk about that some more in just a moment. We're not going to tell other people unless we're truly convinced. So first of all, brethren, this morning I would encourage us to come and see. Unfortunately, there are some who are just lazy, and let that never be us. There are some that are too busy. Well, you know, I can't get my Bible class lesson. I'm busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or that's not that important. Let's not have that attitude. Let's learn and grow and study and dig in. You've heard before, I'm sure, where some have made the point that members of the church years ago would be a walking Bible encyclopedia or a walking Bible concordance or something along those lines. Brethren in the 1800s knew their Bibles backwards and forwards, and brethren in the early 1900s knew their Bibles backwards and forwards. But today? That's why we are so Bible-based and Bible-focused here at Warfield Boulevard, because we need to be able to know what is in our Bibles. All of us. And I'm glad that I'm surrounded by those who believe that. But it's a good reminder. Let us never be lazy. Let us never be too busy. Let us never say, well, that's not a big deal. You know, that's the preacher's job, to tell me what to believe. No. I am a teacher. I am a minister. And I have a role of teaching the Word of God. But all of us have a role of learning on our own as well. Some don't believe that there's anything worthwhile to see. Well, what's in there that I might be interested in? What's in that book called the Bible that I might be interested in? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of good there. It'll help your marriage. Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. It'll help your parenting. Really? Oh, yeah. You just got to open it up and start reading. You mean it'll help me in dating? Surely not. Yeah, it'll help you in dating. There's a bunch of good stuff in there. There are people today that look at that and they're like, wow, that is strange. in my room this past week, there was a Book of Mormon. And I had a little time there. I started reading the first book of the Book of Mormon. Interesting. But when you pick that thing up, you're like, whoa, that is weird. That's how people view the Bible. You know that? You know that a lot of people view it that way? That they have no, I don't know what is in there. That is just weird. And we've got to help them to see, you and I know that it's not weird. And to a Mormon, that Book of Mormon would be like, hey friend, that's not weird. That's my life. But to me, it's kind of strange. That's how many people view the Bible. To say, well, you know, I don't know if there's anything in there worthwhile. Friend, let me help you with that. And we've got to help our friends and neighbors see that there's plenty in there. And that's the very point. They're not examining that and looking at that, and that's why they are having problems in their life and in their marriage and in their family and so forth. We've got to come and see, and we've got to help them. And some, unfortunately, preacher, I don't want that. There are some who are hardened. There are some who are hardened and prejudiced. And by the way, if you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, that was the first problem that was faced, was these hardened Jews. I will not accept the resurrection. And I will pay people to lie about it. Say his disciples stole him away. And they gave these guys money to spread that around. There have been what we call resurrection explanations, man-made resurrection explanations. One is that Jesus never did really die. It's called the swoon theory. He never did really die. He was put into the tomb and it was cool in there, and he revived and came back and walked out. The swoon theory. But the very first theory, false theory that was propagated was this one right here. His disciples stole him away. Why say that? Because I'm so hardened I don't want to believe the truth. And so you run into that. But let us be open to the truths of God's Word, regardless of what the subject is. But then the angels, and then Jesus followed up, said, go and tell. That's the second part of this equation. And I believe that I grew up personally around many brethren who love to come and see. But brethren, we also need to go and tell. We also need to be better at talking with others, and I include myself. And so, why come and see if you're not going to go and tell others what you saw? The plan of salvation is not just for us. We need to tell others. The church and the second coming and the judgment day and any Bible topic you can read about, it's not just for us. Don't selfishly hold on to it. Let's go and tell others about it. They need it. They're lost. So the women, we're told by the angels and by Jesus, go and tell. And not just go, but go quickly. This is good news. I've been risen from the dead. It's good news. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Go and tell. Turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 14, where this same thought is there. John chapter 20. But Mary was standing without at the tomb, weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. She stooped and looked into the tomb. Come and personally view the evidence. And she beholdeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She's thinking another theory. Someone's taken him away. The someone has taken him away theory. Well, that's not true. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and beholdeth Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will go take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. she turneth herself and said unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. She's like, oh, this is not a gardener. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Go to my brethren. We've got to go. We've got to go and get the word out. And it's great that we hear with our sermons and Wednesday night talks and lessons and high school classes and other things. It's great that we are coming and seeing the evidence over and over again and learning. But we've got to step outside these walls and we've got to go and tell others. So turn back with me to Matthew chapter 28 as we close our lesson this morning. I just want us to look briefly at some characteristics of going. What are the characteristics of going that we need to be thinking about this morning? Well, number one, we need to go even though we might not be believed by other people. Go tell people. They may not believe it, but tell them. Give them a chance. When the women began to go, the text says, and Mark is even very clear about this, that they doubted. They did not believe at first. And even in our text here at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, and some, or verse 17, some doubted. There's going to be some people at first that say, I don't believe. And then later they do. There's going to be some people who say, I don't want that. Go to the next person who does. Don't bring that Bible stuff into my life. You might find somebody like that. But you just got to go find the next person who does want God's Word. So go, even if we're not believed. Number two, go, even though others are spreading error about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, the Jews get a jump on the matter. Well, just start spreading this lie. And we live in a world today where many people have gotten the jump on Christians. The lies are already out there, and they've been out there maybe in some cases for centuries, but you still have to go and tell the truth. Even though lies have been spread and errors have been spread. You've got to reach people maybe who haven't heard those lies yet. Or they've heard them and are willing to examine the evidence. But we've got to go talk with people. And number three, we've got to go with the authority of Jesus Christ. When He sent His apostles out, all authority has been given in heaven and on earth. Go with Jesus' authority, and that is by going with book, chapter, and verse authority. We don't go with I think and I feel. We don't go with, well, my opinion is. We go with book, chapter, and verse authority. The Scripture says. The Scripture says. And that's missing today. Today it's church tradition and some hierarchy of men says this. And the reverend and the pastor and the preacher says this. And we want book, chapter, and verse authority, and we're going with that. Not with opinions, not with traditions. And I'm hearing among some younger preachers today, they're starting to talk about these Church of Christ traditions. Well, if you're talking about two songs of prayer and another song and the Lord's Supper, okay. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about core Bible doctrines, and they're calling them Church of Christ traditions, and they're putting down the Lord's church in that way. We've got to answer with, no, book, chapter, and verse says. So we need to go with the authority of Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 28, 19. Number four, we need to go and making disciples, learners, and followers of Christ. We're not trying to get people to follow us. We want them to be completely following Jesus. The word disciple there, mathetes, we get math or mathematics from that. Literally, a learner, and then someone who follows the person that they've been learning from, a learner. And that's what we want. We don't just want people baptized. We had a baptism last Sunday there in Baytown, and I was talking with Jonathan, and he and I were talking about new convert lessons. How can we follow up with this? We're not interested in just somebody getting wet. Jesus said, go make disciples, learners. That means that after the baptism, there needs to be some learning too. And some growing and some studying. And I believe in the Lord's church, we can be better with that as well. the follow-up part. And let's do all that we can to be a part of that. Jonathan said, well, what are some good lessons you like to use for that? And we talked about that. The reason we're losing folks in the church is maybe they got wet, but they never learned later to learn and follow and be committed and dedicated. We need that. So let's go with that in mind. And look at the statement in verse 19, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not what you say right before you put someone under the water. I'm not opposed to saying that, and I actually do say that. But it's not talking about what you say. It's describing the act of baptism. When you baptize someone, you baptize them, you immerse them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Their name. Who they are, their relationship, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the divine Godhead. You're baptizing someone into that relationship. They are now wanting to be one with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just words you say. And I say those words, and I'm not opposed to using those words. But we've got to go making sure that the person that's going down into the water and coming back up is someone who's wanting to be into the name of the Father and the Son. That's my realm. That's my life that I'm living in. I'm going to come up out of that water and I'm going to be in the name, person, character, everything about them, their words. I'm going to be in that realm for the rest of my life. That's what we want to go and make. What else? Well, let's go to all nations without prejudice. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Well, I'm only going to go to this person and that person and this side of town and that color and this economic makeup or that social background or that education. No, everybody. Well, they look a little... No? Are they... No? We're going to go. We're going to talk to them. And start with those around us and work our way out. We're going to go without prejudice. We're going to go to each and every one. And we're going to go with the gospel message only. If you bring in the parallel account in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to all creation. Here he said, go make disciples. It's the same thing. We're not going to go with our opinions and what we think and feel. We're not going to go with, what do the scholars say? I got this book off of Amazon and it's really good. No, we're going to go with the gospel, the New Testament Jerusalem gospel. Well, the PhDs say, and the scholars say, and the experts say, no. What does the gospel say? We're going to take the gospel, the good news, to people. And it will never be out of date for us. Well, come on, Chris, it's 2024. Come on, we need something else. No, we're going to take the old Jerusalem gospel, and we're going to save people with it. And we're not going to change it. We're not going to add to it or take from it. We're not going to try to modify it. We're not going to be embarrassed of it. Well, we've got to update it to make it sound, to go along with evolution and all the other new theories out there. We've got to sort of update the gospel. No, we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to take that old saving gospel and not be embarrassed by that. And we're going to encourage people to obey. And so after these folks are baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Teaching follows baptism. How well do we do with that? Let's do well with that, just like we would do with other things. That here's a person who then now needs to be taught more. That's what a disciple is, a learner. And they're going to be taught to obey all things that I have commanded you. To follow commands, to follow authority, to follow book, chapter, and verse authority. And we're also going to go with God's blessing. Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you can read the book of Acts, and you can see how Jesus helped the New Testament church. I believe he still does that today. There's going to be hardships. You can start reading in the book of Acts. There's going to be hardships. Some things are going to be uncomfortable. There's going to be outright rejection. There's going to be great sacrifices that are made. Look at Paul's travels. Look at the sacrifices that people make. Well, it's hot, or it's long, and it's a far away, and I might have to make this sacrifice or that sacrifice. Yeah, but it's worth it. Or I might have to come home or work early, or I might have to skip a TV program at night. Okay, that's fine. It'll be okay. Talk with someone. Set up a Bible study. Set up an opportunity to talk with someone. We've got my Philippine trip coming up. I appreciate the good brethren here who will allow me to do that kind of thing. I appreciate your support. It takes all of us to work together to do that. And I appreciate you for that. But there's going to be some discomforts. Yeah. There's going to be some sacrifices. There's going to be some challenges, but it's worth it. It's what God wants us to do. It's how we reach the lost. And Jesus said he would be with us and help us with that. And then last of all, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. There's one more thing that we need to remember, and that is that when we go, there's going to be great blessings that come as a result of that. Souls will be saved. The saved will be strengthened. The lost will be saved. We'll be better for it. We will be blessed. The more we go and take this message to others, we will be blessed. Luke 24:50. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. This is his ascension back up into heaven. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The final thing that Jesus does, he tells them to go. And right as he's going back into heaven, he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. The final words of Jesus was a blessing. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And about 10 days later is the day of Pentecost, and the first church begins. So, just like I mentioned before, let's not be lazy and too busy to go. And we can all do better with this, and I include myself. Let's not be too lazy and too busy to go tell others. Let's not be scared and fearful. Well, somebody might say no to me, or somebody might reject me. Don't worry about that. You're going to get a bunch of no's, but eventually you'll get a yes. And I'm wondering now, what I'm hearing from some who claim to be Church of Christ preachers, I'm hearing they're not convinced that we need to go because there's Christians in all denominations. I'm hearing that more and more. So they're not convinced that they need to go anymore. Do you remember when that was preached years ago, those of you who are older? Do you remember when that was preached that there was one New Testament church, and if you're not a part of that, you're going to be lost? Do you remember hearing that? That's gone by the wayside. I'm hearing more and more that all churches are fine. So some are not convinced that we need to go. They're already saved. Times are changing, brethren, and we need to just simply stick with the truth. And that is, we've got to be a part of the one body of Christ. And if you're not a part of that one body of Christ, and you're in a human denomination, you need to come out of that. You're going to be lost. You need to come out of that. And we need to be convinced of the gospel truth and take it to the lost. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement in just a moment. It's good to be back. It's good to spend some time with you. And let's regain that excitement of Matthew 28. There was excitement in coming and seeing. Did not our hearts burn within us? And there was excitement on the day of Pentecost and thereafter as they went and told others. Let's have that same thing in our lives. We're going to stand and sing this Zion's Call. The call is to come and obey the gospel. If we can encourage you to do that as we stand and sing, come and put on Christ in baptism. Let us help you to do that. If you're a child of God that's erred in some way, The call is for you to come back to the Lord, and we can pray with you and for you and strengthen you. Let's come and see, and then starting today, let's go and tell. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?